All right. We'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5. You can turn your Bibles there, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. So it says, the Word of God. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And just quickly, I was encouraged by that the fact that Paul thought they were fully aware. They didn't need anyone to tell them about that. It's encouraging that we can know something and be fully aware of something in all that we don't know. Well, verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. You are not in the darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. Well, brethren, I've just noticed that you can hardly turn a page in the New Testament and it doesn't talk something about the coming of the Lord and the hope that it brings to us. So it's just been a great encouragement to me, and I hope that this will be an encouragement to you as we look particularly at the helmet, the hope of salvation. Well, let's pray. Oh, Father, we look to You today, Lord, as a servant looks to his master, we look to You, and Lord, we just think of that image of birds in a nest and opening their mouths wide and the mom there feeding them. And Lord, we want to be that this morning, just opening our mouths wide and that You would feed us and bless us, Lord, with Your nearness and Your presence. Lord, we have all kinds of promises about Your goodness and how you love us and You want us to have joy and hope and peace and so many things, Lord. And we've got so much yet to go, but Lord, we're a day closer to being with You and we have such a hope, Lord. And I just pray that this would be an encouragement to the brethren this morning to keep pressing on and just to see, open our eyes, Lord, just to see more and more and more of what You've done for us, Father, through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this in His name. Amen. So we see that the context is the coming of the Lord. And, you know, there's lots of thoughts and opinions on what it's going to be like. You can go to Revelation. There's so many books out there on what the end time is going to be like. But I think we can just come away with a few certain things is that there's going to be a day of the Lord, and it's going to come quickly and suddenly. And many won't be ready. They're going to say peace and security. But there are a few that will be ready. And at this point, Paul is just encouraging them to be ready and to put on some things, to put on the helmet and the breastplate. And so, Lord helping, I want to talk a little bit just about what our hope is not. You know, the world's got some hope out there, but ours is not like that. And then, secondly, I want to go through some points on how to put on your helmet. And like Scripture says, put on your helmet, for God's not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So putting on our helmet and obtaining salvation. And then thirdly, I just want to give a simple test. And then fourthly, an indescribable glory. So those four things. So first of all, I just think a little bit from our passage about how the world deals with things. You see in verse 6, and 7, that there's some sleeping. They're sleeping and they're not awake and they're not sober and they're getting drunk at night. And I think this gives us an indicator of what we used to be and where the world is at. All they really can do is this sort of forced hope, where it's just kind of this convincing or this forced quietness of just trying to kind of take yourself in hand and just try and convince yourself that it's going to be okay. This hope is what keeps people going to the Powerball or the casino or any number of things, because you just hope that your life's going to change and somehow it's going to be better. And it's often rooted in money, and it's an empty hope. I mean, we know from Luke 16, there was a rich man who did not make it to heaven. And he wanted so badly to go tell his brothers, guys, don't go this way. Don't hope in those things. It's not worth it. And so you have this kind of hope of stupor, where the world, they live for the weekend. They live to kind of just dumb out the senses just so they can go another day. But that is not our hope, brethren. We don't need entertainment. We don't need the Powerball. We don't need all those stuff. We have our hope in Christ, and He's a living hope. And in a sense, we have won the Powerball. We've won the lottery in Christ. We don't need those smaller things. We don't need to dumb our senses. We live in the day. We live sober, and we face reality like the Lord, He wants us to face reality. So that is not what our hope is. It's not this chance or this, trying to really grit our teeth and hope something's going to happen. It's sure, and we're confident in our hope. So what happened? What happened to us? Well, we see that once we were used to be in the dark, but now we're light. God has shown light into us, and now we're no longer of the darkness, but we're of the day. And that's where it all begins for us. Everyone here who's been born again in Christ, it all began when God said, "Let there be light." And there was light in your heart, and you begin to wake up, and you begin to see and know Christ, and you realize why you're here, and things just begin to change. You begin to move and walk and talk for the first time. You were once dead in your sins, but now you're alive in Christ. That's what happened, brethren, that's where that new hope began to take growth and take light is in Christ, when He began to wake us up to why we're here, what's the purpose of our life, the glory to come. And so we see in our text that when we wake up, we see what the Lord's done for us, that He died for us. He gave His life for us. And I think it's so amazing just how Scripture talks. I mean, we see that Christ died for us. He did it. But then at the same time, Paul is wanting them to put on some things. And you just can't get away from the fact that Scripture talks both ways. He's done everything for us, but at the same time, we need to put on our helmet, this responsibility, and yet this complete lack of ability to make it to heaven. And so that Paul isn't encouraging them with that reality. And so what is a helmet? Well, when I was going over this sermon, I thought about when I first began in the fire department, and I was given this helmet. And it was all, shiny and new, and I wanted to go rub it in the dirt, get some dirt on it, because you don't want a brand new shiny helmet. That looks like you haven't done anything, but as time goes on, you go through some fires, some trials, and it gets all these dents and dirt and grime, and you put it on a lot differently. It takes on new meaning to you, because you've been through this trial with it, and it's kept you. And so it's the same with our helmet. Some of us here are new Christians, and we have a brand new shiny helmet, and you're trying to figure it out and put it on your head, and it kind of fits a little bit weird. But the more you go on, the more precious it gets, and it gets dense, and you realize God's kept me and He's going to keep me. And so this hope, it grows and it builds, and you begin to really appreciate that helmet, that hope of salvation. And so what is it? Well, it's we realize Christ has died for us, but we see that we're not there yet. And so that hope of salvation is that Christ is going to save us, what He's going to do in the future. And as we go through trials, that keeps building and building and building. Yes, I know He's going to do that. At first, it's a little shaky. It's new and everything, but as we grow through trials, it just becomes super evident and that hope grows. And so here's, secondly, just some thoughts that I felt like the Lord gave me from this passage. And I'm particularly zeroing in on that word obtain salvation. You see it there in verse 9. So firstly, if we're going to obtain salvation and put our helmet on, we need to remind ourselves that it's hope in Christ. It's through Christ, but we're attaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our hope is absolutely sure because it's through Christ. It's not someone else or some other thing. And it's someone who's never going to go away. Like He's in the heavens. We have a living hope. And so if the Lord is going to be taken away, that's the only way we're ever going to lose our hope, brethren. And He's never going away. He's forever. He's sure. He's a living hope. We're in Christ, the Bible says, united with Christ. And if you can remember back in Acts 5, I think this is really amazing. Acts 5, there's that high priest, and they're trying to figure out these apostles, these disciples that are rocking the world and their whole life and everything. And he's like, hold on, guys. Remember this one guy, Judas, the Galilean? He rose up and many followed him, but he fell away. There's this other guy, Theudas. He rose up and he fell away. So if this is the same deal, like they're going to fall away too. But if they're of God, we're going to be fighting against God. And I just find that so encouraging. I mean, back then there was all this attack against Christianity, brethren, and we're still here. We're still here. God has been with them. God's with us, and God will be with every Christian until He comes back. We're still here. And it's because their hope is not in Paul or Peter. The same with us. Our hope is not in anyone else but Christ. No organization, no person here on earth but Christ. He is fighting for us, interceding for us, sustaining us. And I was thinking, you know, this church, GCC, 20 years ago, what was our hope? It was Christ. 20 years later, our hope is still Christ, that He's going to sustain us and help us. He's in the heavens. He's seated in the heavens, and we're seated with Him. He's exalted, and someday we're going to be exalted with Him and be glorified with Him. And He's pursuing us and winning us and making a people for His own possession. So our hope is in Him. That's the first thing. When you put your helmet on, you realize my hope is not in anything else or any other person, but it's in Christ. Through Him, I will obtain salvation. Secondly, when you put your helmet on, you realize how to understand the slowness more, because you realize that it's Christ who's doing it, who's working. And slowness for me is like a really hard thing. It's probably for all of us. It's just like, what am I still dealing with this? Like, why isn't this done yet? Or why am I not in a different season? Or why isn't this happening? But when you realize our hope is in Christ, He's the one doing everything. And so His timing is perfect. And David felt this. He said, and I didn't write down the psalm, how long, O Lord, I think it's 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I mean, the Lord brought David through so many hard things just to make us feel better about saying certain things. I mean, we find that in Scripture, and it's kind of like, wow, like David, you're saying it like that. And it's okay to pray those things to God, personally especially. Lord, it feels like you've forgotten me. It feels like you've hid your face from me. And so he's wrestling with this feeling of slowness, of especially sanctification, like, at least for me, like I feel like I should be moving faster. But if we keep our hope in Christ, He's the one doing that. It helps a lot. And let's look at three passages here. It should be on the same page for you all. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I mean, taught by God. He teaches us to love one another. And so if you feel it in your own heart first and foremost, or you feel it in someone else, it's like, well, who's their teacher? It's God. And if it seems slow to you, keep praying for them so God would teach them more. I feel like I get complaining about them, but it's like, well, how much have I prayed for them that God would teach them more to love, or teach me more to love? But see, it's God teaching us, teaching you all. He's teaching us how to love one another. And so you put your helmet on and you realize, I'm hoping in Christ that He will teach us more and more and more. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord. I'll go ahead and read 24. Coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. So there we've got, He teaches us, He sanctifies us, and He's faithful to bring it to pass. And what a hope that is. I'm not going to bring it to pass. You're not going to bring it to pass. God's going to bring it to pass. He's going to sanctify us and make us complete. Now, maybe this sermon is a little bit imbalanced in hoping in Christ. I mean, I know, brethren, it's not like we're not doing anything. We're doing what we need to, is hope in Christ. And in that hoping, of course, you're reading, you're striving, you're struggling, like all those things. I just want you to keep in mind, the Christian is doing those things. It's not like you're just sitting back and waiting, but you're recognizing that all of your hope is in Christ to do it. I hope that's clear. Yeah, all hope is in Christ to sanctify, teach, and bring it past. And I remember when I was pretty young, maybe 8 or 10, I got lost in the woods, and I was going around in circles. I think I don't know what I was doing. But that feeling of hopelessness, you're just going around in circles, you don't know which way to go. That, I think, is sometimes just how I feel where I'm at, where I don't quite know where the Lord wants me. But every day, if you just set your hope in Christ and realize He's the one guiding, teaching, leading, He's going to get you there. And you know, Philippians 2 has always been such a comfort to me. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So you're working out your salvation. You got both things at the same time. For God, though, that's the thing. Hoping for God is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He's the one. We're obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him. I love the thief on the cross. And what a hope. That doesn't change you in the morning, that Jesus is still the same like that, where He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today, thief on the cross, you're going to be with me in paradise. I love that. He's the one doing it, who has accomplished it and bringing it about. So thirdly, when we put on our helmet, we realize that the changing of circumstances is not a very good hope. It's not a good hope. What do I mean? It's just that even in the best of circumstances, if we're not looking to Christ, we can start to lose hope. And even in the worst of circumstances, even with all of our trials, if we're looking to Christ, we have hope. We can abound in hope. And I saw this very well in my dad's example when he was dying of cancer. Just that, how he didn't give up. And he kept just even the basic things like brushing his teeth, combing his hair, going on a run, even when he didn't feel like it. It's just those basic things of not giving up hope. The Lord's coming back someday. He'd come back today. And you're just constantly that hope, that expectation. I don't want to get sloppy. I don't want to go down that road of just like, well, I'm just going to coast. No, He's coming back. And that's what it means to be sober and alert, because you're looking for that day. And you're not looking for a change of circumstance. You're leaving that to the Lord to do that when the time comes. You're hoping in Christ that He knows best. He has me right here, and He will lead me here when the appropriate time comes. So that's your hope in certain circumstances. When you feel like, oh, I wish these would change, you just keep hoping in Christ that He's going to do it in the proper time. Well, next, put your helmet on and keep things very simple. Paul said, pure and simple devotion to Christ. And so sometimes I think things get so hard, you just need a simple truth to hold on to. Just a simple truth. And I remember one day in particular, with this, the Lord quickened a line from a song to me. And it was just a small bite of food, and it was what I needed because I was just feeling so weary. And it was just the line from that song, in the morning, give me Jesus. And that held me over for that day. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But the nearness of God that Psalmist says in 73, we prayed this morning. The nearness of God is my good. I know that's what I need right now. Give me Jesus. And those simple thoughts can keep us hopeful, keep us pressing on. Just looking for simple thoughts to hold on to throughout your day is really going to help, brethren. Just something of encouragement, something about Christ, some little thought about Him. He endured for the joy that's set before Him. Something like that you can really hold on to give you some more hope. I think that's what Paul is talking about when he says, put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Well, next, I think I got three more. If we're going to obtain, we put our helmet on so that we keep the right perspective. Right perspective. There's a coworker at work, and for the first time, I put on one of those VR headsets, you know, virtual reality. And it was very interesting because it just like you're in this whole new world and you don't realize what's going around you. And it really just hit me. It's like that's what it means to be a Christian. When you go to the Word of God, you're living in the reality of I'm going to heaven. I'm not here in this world. I'm not a citizen. I'm not putting roots here. I'm going to heaven to obtain salvation. And you're walking by faith and you're putting more trust in the things you can't see than what's before you. More trust in Christ, more hope in Christ than the things that seem to be so chaotic. And the disciples, they're on the ship and things just seem crazy. And it looks like Jesus doesn't care. But you take Him at His word, you know, no, Jesus is right there. He's the ruler of the universe. If He's not worried, if He's not changing it, then this must be good. Then I'm okay. As long as He's on the throne, I'm okay. And you put that helmet on and you just see things differently. You just see it in a whole new way. So you've got to stay in the Word of God. Well, next, you put your helmet on and it causes you just to go in Scripture and look at other examples or look at other examples around you. And that can be very helpful because you see, well, they persevered. They're making it. They have hope. And so look at Abraham. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 4, it says, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as it has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Hope against hope. Doesn't matter how it looks, or how it looked to Abraham, he believed that promise. Joseph, he simply said, after going through all the trials, they went through prison and slavery and all these things, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Like just how he kept his hope that way. Moses and Joshua, the Lord told them, be strong and courageous. They had the task of bringing Israel out, but they kept hope. David, Psalms 27, I would have despaired if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness of the Lord. Psalms 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Mary, I just love the story of Mary and how she anointed the Lord's feet. You know, Jesus says, why do you bother her? Why do you bother her? And the reason I bring that up is just that sometimes it can seem like what you're doing is not very significant, or that no one's really noticing it, or that, you know, just be all forgotten. But the Lord noticed, and the Lord notices what we're doing here in our work, and it won't be forgotten. It was rewarded for. In fact, the whole world is still hearing about what she did. So the disciples, they had to learn to hope in God and not look at the winds and the waves. And the Lord tells them, He says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. What a hope that is. And I put this in here. I mean, it's every Christian who is faithful. It says in Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So take courage in that, brethren. Like, you do it unto the Lord and it will not be forgotten. God will take note of that and He'll reward you. So if you're a Moses leading Israel out and you're in some leadership position, or you're a Mary and you're just doing the smallest thing in a faithful way, the Lord is going to take notice of that. And there's a hope there that it's nothing's wasted. Nothing's wasted in the Christian life. Even says a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple. Truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So you put your helmet on and you just remind yourself of that, who Jesus is, that we're obtaining salvation through Christ by being faithful in those little things, that He's going to reward it and keep us on and on encouraged. So 7, if we are to obtain, we put our helmet on, we're going to obtain. This helps us remember that the devil is a very, very skilled at the art of hopelessness. And if God is the God of all hope, the devil is, lowercase g, the God of all despair. And He's just so good at it. Just anything to get us to despair and lose hope. It's just so many things. He's so crafty, so skillful. And even the mighty Apostle Paul, he faced this. 2 Corinthians 1. He says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. So if you felt that way, don't be discouraged. Paul felt that way. But just keep putting your helmet on, trusting Christ and relying upon Him. I went through Pilgrim's Progress not too long ago, and I noticed that it was Doubting Castle that really caused Christian the most difficulty. You know, he went through the Slough of Despond, the Hill of Difficulty, the Attack of Apollyon, the Valley of the Shadow of Death, Vanity Fair, and he all took that on pretty well. But when he got to Doubting Castle and Giant Despair, boy, that was one of his lowest points. Hopeful had to encourage him and keep him from suicide. And then he realized, I've got a key in my pocket. I can use that promise. And the devil knows as soon as you find a promise to cling to, you're busting out of those doors. And so what a thing it is. Doubt, despair, and just the need for us to be full of hope, abounding in hope. And it is a fruit of the Spirit to abound in hope. So, and the next one is real short, and that is just as we put our helmet on, we hope in heaven. It just causes us to keep very, very, very short accounts and to watch out for sin. The devil knows that as soon as he can get us in some sort of sin, it's really going to kill our hope. Bitterness, conflicts, lies, lust, all these things, they choke out the Word and the Lord's way. Oh man, it's so full of hope. Like when you're doing it the Lord's way and you're keeping your conscience clear, it may be very, very painful, but there's so much hope in it. That's where you have the most abundant hope, is when you're living with a clear conscience. There's nothing between anyone, nothing between the Lord and your Savior. You're just a clear conscience. Oh, there's so much hope in that. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. So much hope in that. Well, third point is I have a test to see don't want to say it that way, but just think about it yourself. Whether or not you have this helmet on, are you helmetless this morning? And so the test is, did you praise and bless the Lord no matter what was going on? And I get this just because the reality that Christ has died. You know, the Christian is able to rejoice and praise God for things that have been done, finished, absolutely finished. And that's a sign of maturity, is when you can praise God for what you know to be true, absolutely true. You know, we don't know a lot of things, it says in Romans 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know so many things. But we do know, Paul says, that he's working all things for our good. See, that's something you can praise God for. Things that you know. Christ has died for me. I'm headed for glory and not for wrath. Not for hell for all of eternity. And that is a way to start your day. Praising God. Oh, how majestic is your name, the psalmist says. He starts with just praising God. And that is just putting your helmet on 101. Start the day with praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Helps me just to start writing down things I'm thankful for. Who Christ is, what He's done for me, how good He is. Just for every little thing that He gives me and He blesses me with. And it's not just an empty exercise. I mean, it's really true, brethren. Like, He really has done exceedingly beyond our wildest dreams. It's all been done, and it's just waiting to be completed to its fullness. And the disciples said, who can be saved? But the Lord says, all things are possible with God. Rejoice in that. All things are possible. There's so many impossible things, but we can rejoice in the fact that there's nothing for God. He's able to do everything. He's true. He's full of goodness. Someone prayed that the other day. You're good, Lord. You're good and you do good. Like, that's just a simple promise you can cling on to. Praise the Lord for that every day. You're good, Lord, and you do good, even this day. Praise Him for that. And it's not empty. You're not trying to convince yourself of something that's not true. That's what the world does. That's why I spent a little bit of time on that, is because it is true. Like, it really is. And the more you do it, the more you pray, just like that helmet, that fire helmet, the more real it starts to become. It is true. We are headed for glory. He does love me. He is working all things for good. The more you pray, it's like you're building this muscle, and you're building how to walk and fight and all these things. And it just begins to take on new and full and greater light. And it starts by just a little bit of faith. I'm praising You today, Lord, because this is true. All these other things, sure, I don't understand. But this is true. I know this. I know You're good. Whatever it is, there's so many promises. You can find your own, just something to hold on to and go and praise Him for. The devil hates that. It's just such a wonderful thing just to throw in his face and praise God for how good He is. Oh, may the Lord help us. Lastly, an indescribable glory. And if you look at verse 10, I just can't get over this. Says, we will live together with Him. Live together with Him. And I thought about Tim and Jamie. They just got married and they're together. Like, they were apart, but now they're living together. They're with each other. And that's to be a Christian. That is to be a Christian, to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Walking with Him, talking with Him, knowing Him, seeing His face and Him describing things and talking about how He made the world and talking about this thing that just totally confused you. And it's just going to be so wonderful. Chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Always with the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm going to come again and I'm going to prepare a place for you. and it would be a familiar, a fantastic, a wonderful place. I mean, this is really living, brethren. This is living. This is life. This is the ultimate joy. This is what we're after, to be with the Lord forever. And this being together is a glimpse of that, of heaven, being together with Him, catching people in the clouds with Him, and being forever there, just pure, spotless, no sin, living together with the Lord. Waiting, and so now we're waiting, we're hoping, we're trusting, we're looking to Him to complete this work, to obtain salvation. 1 John, it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." I'm not sure what that means. I didn't really study that last part there. But I think it's, at least I hope it's what I've been talking about. The more we hope and we trust and we put our helmet on, we're purifying. He's purifying us. We're becoming more like Him, and we're seeing this is going to happen. This is a reality. We're going to be with Him, and we're going to be like Him. So I just pray as an encouragement to you, brethren, a hope-building sermon. And as it says there at the very end, verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing." And brethren, just on a personal note, I just want to encourage you with this thought. I've been here almost 5 years in July, and you all have built me up so much. You all have encouraged me so much. I love you all. And I just want to say that I love you all. And I look forward to being with the Lord together someday with you, all of us. Everyone who walked through these doors, who profess Christ. It's coming, brethren. And if any don't know Him today, don't you? Hope. What hope is just such a wonderful thing. Why would you want to live this life without hope? Hope in Christ. I just, reading in Genesis, the raven that flew out of the ark and it found some place out there. It was fine with the dirt, the earth. But that dove, it flew out and was like, nope, there's no resting place here. I got to go back. And he went back to the ark and he received it into the ark. That resting place. Christ will receive you. Don't wait. Don't live life hopeless, but full of hope. The Lord came and He died for us that His people would live for hope, live with hope. And the lost, I mean, that's what we're doing when we go downtown. We're shouting out, don't live without hope. Don't live for the weekend. Don't live for alcohol or whatever else. But there's a hope in Christ. We can hasten His day, the Bible says, by sharing this hope that is in us. It's a reality. It's true. It's real. Well, this, I don't know who wrote this, but it's a song that I stumbled across. So in closing, I just like to read it. "Jesus, Lord, my best love Thou art. We two never, ever will part. Thy dear presence is all my breath and might. Thy dear smile is all my delight. I would pour my heart out to Thee, love Thee, serve Thee, joined utterly. My eternal portion, dear Lord, is Thee, my one hope, Thy coming to see." Praise God, what He's done. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Giving us such a hope, such a reality. We're not destined for wrath, but obtaining salvation through Christ our Lord. Father, we thank You. Thank You and we praise You. In our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.